720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio, and honored to have best-selling author of the books Awakened, The Brink, and now Obliteration. Millions of fans know and love him as one of the stars of the hit TV show Impractical Jokers on True TV, Misery Index on TBS, sold out comedy tours around the country. He is, as we like to say on the show, he's the thinking man's Joker, the one and only, and author, James S. Murray. Murray, welcome to WGN.
What's happening, Nate? Good to talk to you again.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you. It's always great to have you on. And
I love coming on this show.
Yeah, well, no, we appreciate it. Chicago loves you, too. Now, you're at this point in your kind of journey through stardom. I'm not sure, Mer, you know, you've always been one of the more grounded people, more humble. You guys are all humble, really. But are you into that jaded and cynical standpoint in your career yet, where you're just dismissive of your legions of fans?
No, man. I get to make my best friends laugh for a living. I get to embarrass my best friends on boat for a living. That's pretty good, man. That doesn't get old. I don't get tired of that ever.
you know what? Now, here's the thing, too, is that Jokers, as much as that is how people identify you, and rightly so, it's been such a huge hit, but it doesn't necessarily define you. It never did. And so with the books, you know, to have it was, you know, originally a multi-book series. You know, you haven't always hit home runs with everything coming up in the career, right? It just depends on the nature of who's looking at it and, you know, the climate and all that kind of stuff. Was there any thought, like, making it a multi kind of series book, that if Awakened wasn't like the huge hit that it was, that the rest of the story might not be told doing it in three parts?
I mean, I wrote the first book, Awakened, 16 years ago, long before Jokers, and I couldn't get anybody to read it, you know, and I had to get on TV and our amazing fans and how supportive they are, everything we do. I was able to get HarperCollins to buy the book, and it did really well and hit like number one on the UK Sunday Times and all sorts of bestsellers around the world. And then they bought the trilogy. So the new one is Obliteration. You don't have to have read the first two books to know what happens in Obliteration. We catch you right up. It is awesome. It's like, it really is kind of like a dream come true, first of all, to pull off a trilogy. It's really hard, you know? And I think we did it, man. I think we stuck the landing. It's exciting, fast-paced, action-packed. It's like the perfect summer reading you'll ever have.
Now, the topic, you know, science fiction, alien, you know, apocalypse, it's always cool. It's a fascinating topic. But here's this, and outside of the stardom, because there's some that can be attached, you're like, oh, well, that's Murr. We love everything he does. But as a book, it has been acclaimed, you know, high praise from people like Brad Meltzer, who we love. Like, what does it feel like to actually be, I mean, you can't, whatever the guys say and whatever they may, you know, whatever, like, you are a legitimate author with actual best-selling books that stand on their own.
That's pretty cool, man. I always dreamt of doing it, you know, but the guys and I have failed so much more in our careers than we succeeded, you know, like it took us 11 years to get on TV, you know, I guess what we're saying is like being hard at stuff and failing until I succeed. And none of it would be possible without our fan base and how supportive they are, you know? So like all these good things that happen, like our tour and these books and Sal's stand up and Q's Beer Company and Joe's charity work, all these amazing things are entirely because of our fan base and how supportive they are of us. So
has that been part of it, is where, you know, you guys sit back, and especially at times like this when there's a lot of things that you can't do, you know, as far as the touring and the appearance, where you've had maybe moments during this pandemic time to kind of sit back and say, you know what, we've achieved a level of success, and you've mentioned it, where you've got fans who understand who you guys are individually, what it is that you guys can do, where you've been able to say, you know, I always wanted to do blank. Is that what, have all you guys been doing that?
I think so. I mean, we've done a couple of things while on lockdown. You know, we created a new show called Impractical Jokers Dinner Party, which is the guys and I having together Zoom. It airs on Thursday nights. It is so much fun. It's like hanging out with the guys and I in our homes, you know, on TV. Yeah. And then, of course, we have the Misery Index on TBS. And we're going to start back into production on Jokers real soon. So we're excited for that. But yeah, I've been, you know, writing books. I'm literally have a book in front of me right now, a new one that comes out in October called Don't Move.
Whoa.
And we're writing another one, comes out next April, called The Stowaway. So I've been doing a lot of that. I've been planning my wedding.
Man.
I get married in less than 2 months. So
Wow. Okay. Well, congratulations. Now, how are you going to do that? So we've got our niece is getting married. She had it planned for, you know, a year or so, but now because of the pandemic, everything's been pared down. So it went from 200 people to like 40 people. And now it's all different. Have you, because of the obvious, you know, weight and power of your success, are you able to just, you know, wash away the rules and regulate? Are you guys going to have like a cool big wedding, or is it going to be more intimate friends, family, just you guys?
We cut the list into a third. So we originally had like close to 300 people. Now it's at barely 100, and we'll see how many of those actually come. But the invites literally went out this week. But yeah, so I got to get rid of all the BS like fourth and fifth cousins.
it's the greatest excuse.
It worked out pretty good.
I mean, it's like to keep you safe, man. It's not because you're not important. You are.
Fifth cousin, you know, cousin Catherine, who I've never met. I'm sorry. It's just to keep you and your family safe.
you're doing the people's work. Because you wanted to ask, too, is like when it comes to some of the projects and things that you're doing for years before Impractical Jokers and all that kind of success, you were always writing. You were always like pitching shows. And of course, you know, from the show, have some of those projects have been highlighted, like Damned, right? You know, that's the kind of thing that may not happen. But one of the things that was actually part of like a joke at your expense was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a game show concept. When I first saw it, I'm like, you know, that actually would work. It was like Monumental Challenge or something, right?
Where
it was
like, friend, let me tell you, did the guys make fun of me on the TV show? I used to work in TV development for a long time, for 10 years. I was the head of development for the company that makes Jokers. And that's how we sold Jokers through my job. I pitched it and sold it, right? So I will tell you, one day I'm going to sell that show, Monumental Challenge, because it holds the record still to this day as being the only TV show at that company that we've developed that has gone to green light meeting at four different networks. Meaning that four different networks, it got right to the top with budget and schedule submitted and was at the green light meeting and didn't go to series. Four times. Four different networks. And that means we're awfully close.
Well, and I think, too, it just stands on its own. Outside of all the great joking and the fun that we have with it, it just makes sense. I think it would work. Now, here, we want to, of course, let the listeners know we're talking with James S. Murray, acclaimed best-selling international author, and, of course, the thinking man's Joker, Murr. Is there any thought to, like, being more of like a Merv Griffin type? Because I think at some point, and you can let the listeners know, at what point when you were actually filming Jokers, did it really become untenable? Maybe three out of four people that were there like actually recognize you, where you have to kind of extend it out. So maybe this is a game show. Maybe you're not in it, right? You just are the one kind of running it.
But I was in the pilot episode. this is before Jokers, but I was in the pilot episode. And I think one day I will be in the series of it when many years after Jokers ends, I could see myself going back to this show.
Well, the writing is something, the TV pitching is one thing, certainly got experience, but the writing is something that you're doing and doing at a high level. We brought up a minute ago about the wedding, you know, and in that kind of sense, you know, you're also a romantic guy, obviously, you have to at some point. So the alien apocalypse and, you know, just the destruction of the planet and all that kind of stuff in the first series, do you have sort of a Nicholas Sparks side to you? Are we going to see sort of a romantic book from a James S. Murray?
You know, like a love story.
Yeah.
I will tell you, there is a fair amount of fan fiction, like romantic fan fiction on the internet about Impractical Jokers. And if you haven't had the chance, I highly encourage you to seek it out and find it on Google. It is hysterically funny. It usually winds up being like Sal and me end up falling in love or something like that. It's so funny. Like, and the characters they write for us are hysterical. So if you want some good romantic comedy, look up fan fiction for Impractical Jokers. Will I ever write a rom-com one day? I don't know, maybe. We'll see. For now, I'm sticking with thrillers and horror.
Well, for the people who get all of their information and their trusted source for knowledge is Wikipedia, it actually still says that you're married to Sal's sister. So, yeah. And I guess technically
you don't tell my fiancé that.
Yeah. If you had to explain it. So going forward, is there any thoughts, too? Because you're always thinking a few, you know, steps ahead. Like, this book is out, highly acclaimed. It's going to be, you know, probably the biggest seller based on the success of the past ones. You guys have already done a movie. Not to say it has to be a Joker's movie, but for maybe a movie around the books. I mean, that whole genre with the, you know, the aliens and, you know, the Earth and, you know, all that stuff, not only relevant because we're living in sort of an apocalyptic situation today, but in general, that style of movie is really popular. Any thoughts? Are you guys planning a movie for the books?
That is always the plan. Literally yesterday afternoon, we had a conference call developing Don't Move, which is the new thriller that comes out in October developing it as a movie, no joke, and pitching and selling it as a movie. So that is always the plan. And we write the books like Obliteration, Don't Move. These books are highly, highly visual. They read like an action movie. Like, it's the kind of book you can't put down. You flip from page to page to page, and it just sucks you right in. And you just are invested in the characters. The story is relentless and compelling and interesting. And it's perfect to be adapted into a movie.
And now you have the support and the budget behind it, so you're not left like you were with Damned, right? You only had one car to sell in order to make the movie. Now you can do all the special effects. You can have cameos by famous actors. You could do it all.
You know, the Joker's movie was an interesting test of all that. I hope you guys have seen it.
Yeah, of course.
Rent it or download it now. I think we were actually, somebody was telling me the other day, I think we were the last movie to come out in theaters before the theater shut down.
Yeah.
And we were only in theaters for like 2 weeks before everything shut. So there is a chance, because of forfeit, that we will be the highest grossing comedy of 2020.
Who cares?
And also, there's a chance that come the Academy Awards, in a normal year, we would never, ever, ever win an Academy Award. But since we're the last, since we came out of February and everything was shut down, we might win.
Oh my gosh.
Best comedy, best film, best foreign film, best animated feature, best actor, best support. Who knows? We might win the whole Academy Awards.
So are you already planning? Obviously, you guys, especially Joe with the pets and everything, you got to make a social difference. Are you already planning your speech out, you know, for the, to make that impactful social statement from the platform of the Jokers?
I have not started writing that, nor will I.
Well, I got to tell you, and one of the last things is that our family, we watch the shows. Obviously, you know that. We've seen the live performances, and we've watched the movies. We'd buy a Murr action figure if it was available. And so are you surprised, like, with all of the stuff? I'm sure some of the people that are buying the books and kind of bringing to the success, I'm sure many of them are Impractical Joker fans. There may be a time, Murr, where you kind of transcend into Paul Newman territory, where people just think of you as the salad dressing guy. They think of you only as an author and not necessarily the Impractical Jokers. But are you surprised as far as just the range of people who love what it is you guys do?
There's so many parts of that question I want to talk about. Do you know, by the way, do you know how much money Paul Newman has donated to charity because of the salad dressing, all the brands that his corporation owns?
It's lots. I mean, millions and millions.
It is. You're ready for this? It's over $500 million.
Whoa.
Since its inception, whenever he started it like 30 years ago. Isn't that crazy? We were just looking. It's my favorite dressing. I was just looking up the stats literally about 3 weeks ago. Over $500 million. That's crazy, right? Anyways.
Well, and the impact that he had with it, because I have talked to some people who are a little bit younger, maybe not as familiar with his acting career, legendary actor, and this is legitimate, and I was shocked, had to step back, that they only knew him as the salad dressing guy.
The salad dressing guy. There you go. If I can, you know, I wonder what they'll think of me as, the bald guy?
No.
The ferret tattoo?
Oh my gosh.
The guy that got thrown out of an airplane? I don't know, the guy with the driver's license with sheep dog brows? the author the, guy? The, I don't know.
Pet cremation, grandparent divorce advocate? You never know.
The ferret guy? I don't know.
Well, I was thinking more from as your momentarily career consultant, I was thinking of international best-selling author, right? And they're like, oh yeah, but he also has a sense of humor. I did not know that. And they would say,
you know what? As Walt Whitman once said, I am large. I contain multitudes. So there you go.
That's right. One thing does not define you. So as we let you go, for people who want to keep up with all your adventures, obviously all those different ways that they can enjoy what it is that you and you guys do on TV for the bookstores, your local bookstore, when they open. And until then, Amazon will drop it off to you on social media. Murr, where can people keep up with you?
You know, go pick up Obliteration. You will not be disappointed. It'll be the best summer reading you'll ever have. Obliteration anywhere books are sold online. Of course, you can pre-order Don't Move, our new thriller coming out this fall, anywhere books are sold as well.
James S. Murray, the one and only Murr from Impractical Jokers, and of course, behind all those best-selling books. Thanks for everything that you're doing. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
You got it. Thanks for having me.